today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike, before we move on, there's one thing I did want to ask, because we had a wonderful pre-interview yesterday. You told so many great little tales about life in the delivery room, but you assisted on a birth of quintuplets?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
My God.
And Mike, she didn't get overtime.
Man, that's like working. That's like working at a soft drink bottling plant.
We didn't know what was going on.
I only follow daughters. That's a funnier voice. I learned this from Mike. That's funnier if you whisper. You're quiet with that. You don't want to yell that one.
Okay.
This is delicious strudel.
American, have you ever met other American than Jack Vale?
Chuck Vale does this funny video where he goes into a Walmart and breaks wind. It's so cool. It's so crazy.
I have seen him on the internet.
It's got so many million views.
Mike, what was the first car to be mass produced?
The Model T.
That's exactly right, Mike. And it's a tie game, Oscar.
Your dad had one, right?
My dad had one. That's funny.
That's when you got to high school in your Model T.
Yeah, it was great. It beat the hell out of the horse.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
From Washington, D.C., this is The Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with so many wonderful people. We'll be talking about them today, who are part of our family, who listen every day in every corner of the world. This is TMOS, and we are heard in great places like South Paris, Maine, Templeton, California, Bozeman, Montana, St. Augustine, Florida, Liverpool, New York, and Lucerne, Switzerland. Boy, would I like to visit there. It just sounds like a cool place where you could get yourself a nice watch.
It's the trashy part of Switzerland, Mike.
It is.
Is it really? So it's like on the other side of the tracks?
I get
those
so much
Switzerland train tracks that run down through the middle of the country.
So much private hate mail when I call a town trashy. When I don't know about the town, it just sounds like it'd be the trashy part of town.
How dare Oscar.
And also, Mike, when you go to Lucerne, the glare off Lake Geneva is oppressive. So bring your sunglasses. Bring your
sunglasses.
We're
going to get our talking head in here in a second, but I do want to share something with you.
Please.
All right. Let me just give a little disclaimer here. I'm 61 years old. Can anyone tell me what this is?
It's a container? Little round container?
It's a new toy for me.
Is it not like a little round container?
I am 61 years old. And when I was down visiting my brother-in-law and my sister, when you get together with family, I think a lot of part of my family now is my daughters do this with me. I do this with my brother-in-law. We share videos. So this is something funny. Hope you like this. Yeah. There is a YouTube star who I don't talk about, but we have been identified as enjoying this kind of humor for many, many years. This, ladies and gentlemen, that I hold in my hand is called the Pooter. It is
not short for a computer.
Say, no, the Pooter, Jack Vale's Pooter. I don't know if you've had the pleasure like I have of watching Jack Vale on YouTube, but Jack Vale has created a device that really astonishingly, with a great deal of practice and skill,
yes,
recreates the sound of flatulence. And I love his name because it sounds like an old
Vegas
Jack Vale.
Or a Vegas Vale. Guy, like who's on the strip tonight, Jack
palm.
Vale.
This is a wait a minute. Hold on just a second. It takes some skill.
It's about the size of a film container. If you used to have a 35mm camera, Oscar, mm-hmm. The film came in a little black
tube, I remember.
And that's about the size of it.
I'm not that young.
Well, you're pretty young. You'll be older next week.
It will be.
Yes.
Yes. I'm feeling a lot of pressure right now.
I mean, I don't. Well, here we go.
Thank you. That was my first one right there.
Now, with practice and skill, Mike, can you have more extended efforts, or are they all a little squeak? Oh. He answered with sound.
You know what I'm going to do here? I'm gonna open up the other mic and
see
if you
can do
it. So you have a dedicated fart mic.
Well, I mean, I could probably do that if it wasn't up by the microphone. I could get the real Jack Vale effect,
yeah,
which is
Jack Vale.
Jack Vail.
What's your
Jack
name? Vail.
Jack Vail does it like in Walmart.
How much
stuff.
Did you pay for that piece?
Like less than $20.
Okay.
So.
Well, if it's close to $20, sure. That's a lot.
Huh?
I mean, I'm
worth every penny.
How you doing? How's everybody doing?
What's your name?
Jack Vail.
Like, it's the perfect broadcast fart.
It is.
Let me tell you, as a person who has recorded these, taken them off the internet, used them, laughs at them, laughed with his late father right till the end. He is a wonderful, wonderful talent. Let me tell you what's special about this. What's special about this is just like a snowflake. No two are similar.
That's right.
They're always different.
Always unique.
And it's not electronic. You don't press a button. You create this with your own
You know
own
what
hand.
You are, Mike? You are, in the past when we have played tape sound effects of farts, that's fine. But now you're like a live Foley artist, like the guys in Hollywood that create sound effects. You're making this happen.
Well, here we go again. As I request guests on the show, please to book Jack Vail.
Of course.
I'm sure other disc jockeys have had him, but you know what?
Discover him?
You're just surfing, and might have shown up in my feed. Hold on. I'm trying not to get the high sound effect.
You want something low.
Yeah, you got to kind of go on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a little bit... No, I can't get that.
I think it's a perfect broadcast fart.
Yeah, you know what? Also, they used to say
that moisture helps too.
Trying to hide
disgusting licking,
Mike. That's what you've always said.
Right.
The in days of old, television announcers had a higher voice because they did better on the small speakers.
Me,
and I think Oscar has a point. That high frequency fart plays well in our medium.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well. I got to focus on the
show. Okay, yes, please.
I'm turning the microphone off
please.
Right now.
Well, Jack Vail.
More to come.
That is the type of flatulent that a broadcaster is trying to hide.
Flatulence.
Right.
Sorry.
Flatulent would be a that would be so the adjective.
Oh. He's got more.
Sorry.
He's got more in him.
I'm so bad at it. That's why I want to get him on
that. Who's good at it?
That Jack Vail.
Jack Vail.
Mike, it's Friday, and what are weekends made for but practicing your fart machine?
Well,
I'm sorry,
so the only question is today whether I take it out to the golf course today, which I may do. I, as you know, that's my favorite hobby.
Not sure you would actually need it out there, would you?
With those guys. No, I'm just thinking somebody's like standing at the tee.
Yes.
And, I can't get the...
You got to perfect your technique before you go out in public with it.
I know.
Yeah, you mustn't embarrass yourself.
Yeah. It's got to really win. Because a weak one's not going to do
anything. You know what? This is a definite pass-fail thing. There's no in-between. You'll either knock it out of the park or you'll be removed from the
tough
premises.
Tough crowd.
The thing is, there's an authentic quality with the high pitch.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's I agree.
But also, Mike, you have to be aware that your friends on the golf course might be on.
This is like when you don't come into the studio and I've got the microphone open, Rob's microphone, and I have to turn it off because it's like a wall of sound that is just so non-stop. I'm trying to hold on just a second. There we go. All right, I just wanted one more, but
a quality one. You wanted a quality one,
yeah.
But it's wonderful. Let's bring in our talking head, shall we?
Yeah,
please.
Rachel Guthrie is our Mike O'Mara Show talking head today. Rachel lives in Phoenix, Arizona, with her husband Garrett. They have three kids: Ollie, Charlotte, and Lois. Baby Lolo is 7 weeks old.
Wow, baby!
Wow, that's fantastic. Plus, a 9-year-old Boston Terrier named Alfred. Oh, your doggy. From Boston. Rachel is a labor and delivery nurse, and Garrett is director of sales for Young's Market, a liquor distribution company. He loves his job, even though a business trip made him miss his 10th anniversary. She remembers that. But he made it up to Rachel. Rachel works under Dr. Steve Plimpton, About 2 weeks ago, the plimp daddy asked if she would be interested in her kids participating in a Moderna COVID vaccine study.
Whoa. Well,
Ollie and Charlotte will be getting their first dose any day now, as well as four of Rachel's nieces and nephews. That's kind of cool. Rachel is responsible for six of the only 750 study participants since then. She has been on channels 3, 12, and 15 local news, as well as ABC World News. Wow! Good Morning America, the Today Show. Rachel has been listening since 2015 and is a diehard TMOS fan, but her gateway drugs were Big O and Dukes and cake and cookies.
Sweet.
That's awesome. Her favorite thing about TMOS are our views, which compliment hers. Way to go, Rachel. Oscar's laugh, talk of our personal lives, Maddie on the air. Yeah, me too. And she loves the revamped homepage. Her favorite voices are Larry King, God rest his soul, and Charlie. You got Charlie this week. Charlie and the Suez Canal. Oscar's idea, by the way. Her kids grew up listening to TMOS in the car, and Ollie will occasionally say out of nowhere, Oscar Santana! She has some ready delivery room nursing stories and would like to tell everyone that cherry and Coke Slurpees are a thing. Okay?
Oh, yes.
And now, here's Rachel. Hi, Rachel! How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm sorry for... you know, using that as your lead-in, that I got my new pooter toy here, but that's what it is. Speaking of Boston, I was going to send my my brother-in-law said, "Oh, you should send that to Max, my niece's son." Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I fight the urge to just get right to it and send it to him. But see, that's my type in the family. You know, yeah. I'm Uncle Mike, the one that would send this. I'm not going to be that uncle. Although I'm weighing it right now, I'm fighting it,
Mike,
not to send him.
That
this,
would definitely qualify you as the Funkle.
Yeah, yeah, the fun uncle.
Yeah,
I understand. You're right about that. Rachel, welcome and congratulations on your new baby. It's so is that your that's your third child? You have a family of three now? Oh,
yes.
Wow. That is
Mama three.
That is awesome. And you're a delivery nurse, so does that put the pressure on the people that are in the delivery room, or does it make it, well, you're an experienced mom, but I would imagine you know backwards and forwards what to happen. I could tell you my experiences with the delivery room, but obviously when you're going in to labor and you're going to be going into your own delivery room, that's got to be a little different than the average mom going in there.
It is different. You're cursed with the fact that you know too much. So I sit there, I do deliver where I work. So it's my friends and people I trust and I've been in emergencies with. But I sit there and I listen to the monitor. I plugged in and restarted my own IV while I was delivering. My friends were like, stop it, Rachel, but nurses make the worst patients. So,
my memory of I think it's my first daughter, might have been my, I think it was my second daughter. It was at Fairfax, Fairfax Hospital outside of DC. And I remembered the delivery nurse that was in there. Their job, and you can correct me if I'm getting anything wrong here, Rachel, their job is to not just clean the baby and, you know, it looks like they're drying the baby up, but to kind of stimulate the baby.
Yeah.
And as a father, a Rube in the delivery, I'm like, hey, chill out. Because, I mean, she was just like,
handling.
It looked like a Monty Python movie. You know, she's just going like this with the baby. And but that is kind of the job, right? To kind of stimulate
totally
the baby.
It totally is. We are, the doctor gets in there when the ears are showing. We've done all the work before that. The doctor comes in when the ears start showing, flop the baby on. We dry and stimulate, which is to create a It's a chemical and a physical reaction to start breathing, to go from breathing from a placenta to breathing how we breathe. So we stimulate, try and cause that first breath and to make sure that their lungs are clear. And
oh, wow.
And Mike, you were trying to
stop
that.
Have to do.
Jesus.
Yeah, and you know what they say, Mike? Hot water burns the baby, so you have to be careful.
Oh, it always gets back to Rain Man.
Always, always. I only took one nursing class, and that's all I remember.
You know, it really, first of all, congratulations on your Boston Terrier. How long have you had your Boston Terrier, too?
We got him in 2012. So he was our first baby. We got him. My husband gave him to me for my birthday. We actually share a birthday. They hadn't been born yet. And then he got an email the night of my birthday that the litter was born. And so I got to go pick him up the next day.
Oh, wow. That's great.
We didn't bring him home. But yeah.
I will tell you that a friend of mine told me this, that I would never have a better dog. This is not even the relationship that I have with this animal is not even in the ballpark with other dogs. I'm not saying that there aren't other great breeds out there, but I'm just going to tell you this, that the idea, if you like a dog and you want a dog to be a people person, to the point where sometimes it can get almost, you know, a lot of annoying dogs will come over, yes, and nuzzle you, but then, but this dog is people obsessed. And I'm all down with that. I think that's absolutely fantastic. And Winslow, the Boston Terrier, and here's another great name, Alfred.
Thank you.
For your dog. I love that. I want to get back to your job, because a labor and delivery nurse, I would imagine that you see people, I don't want to say at their worst, but certainly
vulnerable.
At their most vulnerable. That's a great word. Where they're stressed out. And how long have you been in the delivery room doing your job?
6 years. In February, it was 6 years.
So you've got plenty of experience being in there. Is there? I know there's a lot of training that goes into, you know, any level of nursing, but anything that involves surgery or a delivery room or anything like that, it's a tremendous amount of training required for that. And I would imagine there's probably a little psychological component to it as well, although no one that's going into the delivery room, at least a father, is not going to think about that.
Yeah.
Tell me, it's just cool. I love your job. Tell me about what you do. It's just kind of neat.
So we look at it as... Well, it is the emergency room for pregnant people. So anyone that's pregnant, if someone pregnant goes into the actual emergency room, they do whatever they can to get them out of there and send them up there. We have rules that if you're not a certain gestational age, you can't come up to triage yet, because you have to be what we consider viable for us to...
Right.
Pardon the interruption. I've always heard the word triage, and I've never understood what is meant by triage. They use it on all the medical dramas and stuff.
So triage is where we decide... If you stay, we prioritize who gets admitted first. We see if you're actually in labor, and we see whatever maladies you have, because like I said, it's an emergency room for pregnant people. So if they come in for an appendicitis, but they have a baby inside, we see them, and our resident doctors come see them, and then our private, like the attendings do as well. But yeah, we have a joke. My hospital is in downtown Phoenix. So we see all types and all situations. And we have a joke that we have Joe specials. So I work at St. Joseph's, and we see everything from football and baseball players' wives to meth addicts. We call it a meth addiction, which is super sad. But in our job, we have to have a little bit of a thick skin, because if you don't laugh about it and be...
you have to take every day with a grain of salt, right?
Don't the meth addicts have a quicker delivery, though?
I literally came home one day because I saw a lady screaming during a contraction, and then she would fall asleep afterwards because she was so high.
Sad.
And experiencing that, it was terrible. And I came home and I said, I saw someone screaming like The Exorcist. And my husband looked at me and goes, I know you need to talk about these things, but I cannot. So that's why because you can talk about those things with your nurse friends.
Wow. Otherwise, you know, I think I misspoke. I see you had a Boston Terrier. You're not from Boston. You're from Arizona. And my first child, and you see it all the time, a father coming in. This is back in the day. This is 28 years ago. I had the big old camera, the video camera. And I remember, if you go back, and I know it's lying around somewhere. I never got it on my legacy box, so I didn't get it curated. I got to find it. It's on one of those little video cassettes that you have.
Yeah.
And I'm taking a video of the doctors scrubbing. The doctors and the delivery nurses scrubbing outside. And you can see a slightly perceptible vibration, which is me shaking. And I'm sure you see that. Do you have any, like, super happy stories? They're all happy when the baby's born. But, you must get all sorts of situations there.
Well, you do. You see this. I tell people, because people think it's all rainbows and butterflies. But so I warn people that it's the best of the days and the worst of the days.
Oh, I can't imagine.
And I don't mean to sound callous, but sometimes it's just work. So a baby's born and a baby's born. Okay, we're just going to make sure.
I say the same thing about the show.
Exactly.
Sometimes he's a monster. Sometimes he's happy.
I thought, Oscar, you were talking about the show as the baby. And sometimes the baby
sometimes
is born.
Sometimes it's just a show. It's another one. Another toiling day.
You got me. That's me all over, Mike.
I can go home and crawl into that bottle again.
May I ask one question, Mike, before we continue? How did you deal with this type of responsibility, especially during the surge that not just Central Phoenix, but overall, you know, the country was dealing with COVID?
Yeah. I'm glad you know Phoenix for a while. It was crazy, but everybody was has been infected by this pandemic. And I talked with Rob yesterday about the fact that it was so weird nursing. Actually, I don't know if it was Rob or the interview that I did yesterday. We got interviewed again. We were on ABC 15.
I was on TV. I don't know who it was. It was one of my many television interviews. I don't know.
One of the weirdest 2 weeks.
Keep going. No worries.
Just giving you a hard time.
But the beginning of the year last year, March and April, were so full of change. And every day, the protocols for what they were trying to do kept changing. We didn't know if we were going to have enough PPE. They were having us reuse masks that typically we would have thrown away after 20 minutes. Wow. Every day we came in, they were trying to figure out the right protocols. They were going back to what they did for SARS because nobody knew.
Wow. So that was your template. You had to go back that far. That was the last thing that was like even relatable.
Yes. They were using research and methods and protocols that they had used for SARS until they started figuring out what was going to work for the coronavirus. But it was anxiety inducing. I went back on Zoloft. I'll be like totally open about it. I was like, I need something.
I'd eat them like M&Ms if I was doing what you were doing. Absolutely. Give me Lexapro, Zoloft. You know, come on, just put it in there. You know, put a maple syrup over them. Put them in a cereal bowl. You know, what the hell? I mean, I swear to God. Anyway, and I like your honesty, too. I'm sure. I'm sure that a lot of that was going on there. Because, I mean, not only the stress. So you were doing, when you were dealing with that incredible outbreak in Arizona, in the Phoenix area in particular, you were still staying with the primary job of labor and delivery, or did you do other stuff as well?
No, at that point it was labor and delivery, but we had our risk unit was where we were putting our COVID pregnant patients, and most days it was full and every room had contact precautions outside the door. We were full, and our ICU beds in the hospital were full. It was just crazy. Reports daily on the numbers, and they shut down visitors.
I was going to ask you. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to ask you specifically about that. So during deliveries, you had delivery situations where the husband and family members couldn't come into the hospital, right?
We actually never got to that point. Our hospital decided that they could have one support person. In the worst numbers, they had one support person, but that person could not leave. It could not come and go. They had to decide between their partner or their mother. And for some of these girls who are 18, 17 years old that are delivering, a 17-year-old boy is not going to be much support.
No,
so it was,
yeah.
Didn't have their mom there because they made the choice, obviously, for the baby's dad to be there.
Wow.
I know a lot of places in the nation did not allow anybody. And so to see videos of people delivering by themselves, was to tell people to put their damn mask on. Excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah, because people didn't get it. Right. Let's talk about the hopeful stuff you're doing now.
Mike, before we move on, there's one thing I did want to ask, because we had a wonderful pre-interview yesterday. You told so many great little tales about life in the delivery room, but you assisted on a birth of quintuplets?
Wow.
My God.
Hospital. And Mike, she didn't get overtime.
Man, that's like working. That's like working at a soft drink bottling plant. I mean, that is incredible.
How many is quintuplets? Is that five?
Five. Yeah,
that's five. Oscar, yes. Did you obviously you know that? Do you know that going in? Sometimes
there were five. Oh, she had been at our hospital for months. She came in at about 20 weeks and was on bed rest in our hospital. 4 weeks. I think she made it to about 32 weeks before she delivered.
Wow. Wow, that is incredible.
All the nurses knew her because she was there for so long.
Can you even imagine?
Was she a good patient?
She was so sweet, so sweet. I can't imagine what her body was going through because being pregnant with one baby is enough. But
do you stash the babies like puppies when they come out?
Yeah, exactly, like puppies.
Yeah. And the babies, are the babies doing okay now?
Did they all survive? I actually follow her on Instagram, and they're three now, and they're so cute. And
five. That's modern medicine. Isn't that great? I was a preemie. Believe it or not, look at me now. I was a preemie.
Did you guys know that?
I was a preemie. My mom, God rest her soul, would tell you. I was a preemie. I don't know all the details, but I was in the hospital for a while.
I was told I was premature.
Okay, thank you very much.
But it turned out it was full term.
Before we let you go, Rachel, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you about. I love your doctor, Steve Plimpton, that you call Plimp Daddy, which is funny. So he asked you if you would be interested in your kids participating in a COVID vaccine study. And, because here's my T-shirt today. Sorry that I'm not Moderna.
I love your shirt. I'm so jealous.
Who's the guy that sent that, Rob?
Joseph Del Porto from the Pfizer Corporation. Thank you, Joe.
My camera skewed, or do I have one breast larger than the other? I'm trying to figure it out.
That's really not an either or.
Sorry about that, Rachel. I apologize. So the vaccine study, as the father of a seven-year-old, I am riveted when I read this, that your kids are going to be participating in the study. And I think that the consensus scientifically is that it's more of a debate over whether they really need it, but not a debate over safety. Would that be accurate?
I think it's not a debate over safety, but they also don't know the correct dosage. However, the way Dr. Plimpton explained it in one of the interviews was that you can't have too many antibodies. Your body is going to create enough. You just need enough that's going to cause a response to fight the virus. So I think the most purpose of this study is to figure out the correct dosage for a child, just because if you don't need to give the large adult dose, you don't need to. But like I said, he said it's safe for these children with the adult dose because you can't create too many antibodies. It's not like you're giving them like a flu virus, the weakened virus. That's not the type of vaccine that this is. So it is safe for these kiddos. And I've had people call me hate calls, anonymous calls.
Oh my God.
On the news and said, how dare you do this to children that can't speak for themselves? But I'm doing this because I love my kids and I want them to be safe. And I jumped at the fact. Literally the day I heard about it, I called and had them sign up.
So you're doing this because you have an overwhelming sense of the public health and the good of others too, which I think is spectacular.
It's not just for me and it's not just for my kids.
God, people. I swear to God.
To do this so that we can roll it out so everybody has access to this.
Yes. This may be a silly question, but if they find that a child requires a smaller dose, does that mean the vaccine can go further and they can make more doses faster?
You know what? I don't know the real answer, but to me, that makes sense.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. I found out this morning, Mike, I actually found out this morning, Julia got her vaccination appointment this morning. So she said in the next month, she'll be getting vaccinated.
40, that's awesome. 40 and above on Monday down here in Florida. Wow. So Carla's going to be out there.
Two more years for her.
Let me take this opportunity to say hello to another talking head, Linda Herr. Hi, how are you, Linda?
I spent all day on, so they opened up our state for 16 and older on Wednesday, and it went so fast. I spent all day trying to get my husband a vaccine. He'll be 40 at the end of the year, so that was his group. And then I woke up yesterday and instantly got on again and I got him one. It was for the 30th. He thought it was for yesterday, showed up and they gave it to him yesterday. So
great. Oh my God.
That's fantastic. Look, the best news of all all this, I'm hearing so many stories of people succeeding in getting this, and the fact that they're lowering the ages in our state and we're moving along. And how soon did you get vaccinated when they started becoming available as a frontline healthcare worker? How long did it take for you to get a vaccine?
So keep in mind, I was pregnant.
That's right, you have a 7-week-old, right.
trying to decide if I was going to do it, but I ended up getting it December 30th was my first dose.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
I made the decision that I was wasting an opportunity if I didn't. Mm-hmm. And my doctor was totally on board, and the CDC has come out and said it's fine for pregnant women to get it. And I did it hoping that that would create antibodies for my little one who can't be vaccinated. So I got it at 35 weeks and 38 weeks because I had the wow. Pfizer.
And you have a little baby, Lolo, who's happy and healthy and doing great. So
chunky and happy and healthy.
Oh, that's awesome. I think it's amazingly brave what you're doing, you know, with all of this. And the fact that people would judge in this situation blows me away. God, I just want to reach into the email and strangle people that do that, you know?
I just, it's funny because I know that they're going to want to go back to normal at some point. Sorry, I'm pretty sure I hear my son coming. Come here, buddy.
Can we say, or do you want to, if you don't want to?
Yeah, Santa Oliver.
Is this Ollie? Is this a 3-year-old Ollie?
Oh, he just woke up.
Oh, that's a sleepy boy.
Oh. Hello. It's early. Early out in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Ollie.
Hi, Ollie.
Ollie, would you like to hear Donald Duck? Would you like to hear Donald Duck sneeze? Would you like to hear Donald Duck sneeze?
He's sure.
Okay, watch this. You have to throw imaginary pepper at my face. So throw some pepper at me, okay? Throw some pepper at me. Fake pepper. There we go. Never misses. Never. Even long distance. That's right. The way it goes. Rachel, that's awesome. We are out of time, but I wanted to say thank you for coming on. Continue. We didn't even get to the ego part. We said, what do you like best about the show? We were glad you liked the show. Spread the word.
Thank you. Out in
Phoenix. Do you want to say hi to anybody before you go?
Yeah, please do.
My husband, Garrett, the kiddos, Ollie, Lois, and Charlotte. And I don't know if they'll hear it right now, but Mandy and John, they actually are in D.C., but good friends of my husband that are listeners too, and I know we're at your big...
Mandy and John, that's awesome. That's cool. God bless you for what you do and your bravery. And
Thank you, guys. This was such a treat.
Thank you, Randy.
So cool.
I've got three kidlings, and you're the type of person I'd love to see when I walked into a delivery room. I know the kind of work you people do.
Bye, beautiful. Ollie.
Thank you very much.
Ollie.
Bye, Ollie. See you later. Guys, it's time for breakfast. Bye. That's Rachel Guthrie, everybody. Fantastic. We will come back with, oh my God, the homepage already right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Well, hey there. It's me, Winslow. I'm a Boston Terrier. I'm just like most dogs. I eat, I poop, I fat, I smell other dogs' butts, I pee on things to show ownership.
Stop the promo for a second.
Will you please? Special about...
I just have to know my own show a little bit better, okay?
Yeah.
What do you mean? You have to know the show better.
Well, I'm dead.
It's Oscar's take. It's not the
Oscar's
homepage.
Take.
I wrote it for Oscar's take.
Okay,
Mike. All right, want to pay attention or you want to phone it in again for Friday? I'm not phoning it in.
Yeah, you're phoning it in when you don't tease things the proper way.
Get your
No.
All right, go back to the promo. You can start it from the beginning.
Okay, throw it back to a Winslow here. Hold on one second.
Yeah, please do.
All right, here, in Oscar showtime.
Well, hey there. It's me, Winslow. I'm a Boston Terrier. I'm just like most dogs. I eat, I poop, I fat, I smell other dogs' butts, I pee on things to show ownership, but the one thing that's special about me is my owner. He's wicked smart. He uses the TMOA Shopping Center at MichaelMarishow.com, Target, and Walmart. It's great for dog food, treats, those squeaky toys I like so bad, and carpet cleaner. Yeah, sorry about that. I had to pee wicked bad. Shop at the TMOS Shopping Center. MichaelMarishow.com. Johnny on the spot. Go Sox. Oh, and woof.
Thank you, Winslow. Appreciate that. Hey, guess who got approved for the refi yesterday?
Hey! Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know why? Because I work with Joanna at Cornerstone. What the hell is that?
That's celebration noises for getting approval.
No, the celebration noise. You know what? I better learn this thing.
Yeah, you're no Jack Bill.
No, I'm not. Thank you. We all knew this day would come, the hope for an economic recovery. Pushing those pesky interest rates higher, everybody. That means the historic low rates we've been seeing will not be around forever. And they'll be in our rearview mirror. Nobody knows. It's volatile. But it's more important than ever to work with a team you can trust. And listen, I trust the team at Cornerstone First Financial. For now, rates are still in the twos.
Yes.
Household debt has surpassed $14 trillion, and home equity is at levels not seen in 15 years. So the time to act is now. Whether refinancing for debt consolidation, divorce buyout, lowering your rate, or a new home purchase, Cornerstone First is the only company I recommend. Because you know that. I'm using them right now.
Do it. You got approval. Yes.
They're a direct lender. And, oh, by the way, so I was having trouble with this one particular form. Still having trouble, but I've been approved already. And I raved out a little bit saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. And then the next day, Joanna sent me an email that said, are we feeling better today? She's so intuitive that she knew to treat me like a child. Anyway, call them now, 202-625-1221. Yes. Treat your childish customers like children. Cornerstone First Financial. Treat your childish customers like the child they are.
Sure they do.
Anyway, call them now, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Waiting for rates to go down won't work anymore, so call my friends at Cornerstone First before it's too late. 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Act now or sit on your hands. Yeah, 202-625-1221. Personal attention, from application to closing. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Oscars Day.
Oscars Day.
A review and comment on the news of the day, as only our Bolivian bloviator can do it. The views expressed by Oscar Santana in no way reflect the views of the Mike O'Mara Show, its listeners, or the right-thinking people of the United States of America. And now, without further ado, Oscars Day.
Oscars Day.
Oscar, about 20 years ago, Zach Galifianakis had what he called a two-week trial as a writer for Saturday Night Live. This isn't specifically selected for you,
all right,
an Oscar's take, but it is a good story, and I think you'd enjoy it.
I love it.
It didn't go well, especially in the lead-up to the May 13th, 2000 episode that Britney Spears was hosting. I like this story simply because it talks about Zach's ideas. I think he did it on the Rob Lowe podcast where he said that. Zach pitched two sketches. And they both flopped. The first one involved Will Ferrell being shrunk down to play a security guard inside Britney's belly button.
Britney Spears?
That's just great. Made me laugh to hear that, all right? God. The reaction was not as enthusiastic as he'd hoped. He says, quote, I feel like a tumbleweed went right across the writer's room table and a cricket was riding on it. That's funny. He's just a naturally funny guy. He pitched his other idea directly to Britney. And here's what he said. He said, quote, you're being interviewed by Entertainment Tonight. There are no jokes. And during the middle of the interview, you just start bleeding from the mouth. He is so good. See, you're reacting like a lot of people, but I just think.
No, that's great.
You see? It's just kind of that. Britney was nice enough to tell Zach she thought it was funny, but he could tell she didn't really mean it. So he didn't even bother presenting it to anyone else. So that's Zach. I didn't know Zach Galifianakis had a tryout to be a writer on Saturday Night Live.
There's so much talent that probably either doesn't get a shot or loses their way in this business by not getting past this Saturday Night Live audition.
Yeah.
Because you only hear the successes, right? You rarely hear the failures unless they become a success on their own, in their own right.
Right.
I think Zach is a genius in his own right because of Baskets.
Yeah.
I thought he was funny in the Hangover movies and Between Two Ferns. I thought that was kind of funny, but.
And his stand-up's very funny
but
too.
Baskets says everything you need to know about how effing witty and funny that guy is.
Next level subtlety, and also what it is, it's
the next level subtlety is a great analogy.
It's like you got to find the hardware to match to find the software, and he found his landing ground. I've heard so many people. Mark Maron has this just absolute fixation on Saturday Night Live because he never made it on it. And so every time he has a guest on that has even a tangential connection to Saturday Night Live, he asks about it. And a real common theory or feeling of people that even worked there for years is that working at Saturday Night Live is like getting up every morning and going to the playground to get bullied on purpose. That's that's the atmosphere at Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, but if you get through it, you write your own ticket.
Well,
right?
That's your, I mean, out of one in a thousand is a Keenan.
Yes,
right?
But what you said, they're both related. And what you said, Oscar, is that I can imagine that there are people vastly more talented than the people we've seen don't handle that, that don't thrive in that environment. Just to be a great comedian doesn't necessarily mean you have to thrive in a bullying environment with Lorne and all of that.
This is a tough room.
Yeah, yeah, he's a dick. I'm sorry. Everything I've ever read about him or heard him interviewed, he's a total dick.
My apartment is adjacent to Paul Simon's.
One of the greatest, not the greatest, just one of them, for baskets, if we're ever getting back to the show, is where there's this character, her name's Martha, and she's the most soft-spoken character on the show.
Works at Costco.
Yes. And Chip, or one of the guys, I think it had to be Chip.
Right.
He says, he gets in her car and she's like soft spoken. He goes, Martha, you're yelling. Will you stop yelling? And throughout the show, he's making poor, quiet Martha. He's like, hey, Chip, you need to go see your mom. Stop yelling, Martha. I hear you.
That's pure Zach Galifianakis comedy.
It is so great.
Oh,
so great.
I love it. You're listening to Oscar's Take, ladies and gentlemen. Oscar, everybody's seen this actress. You probably don't know her name. Milana Vayntrub, I think it's Vayntrub. She's Lily.
Like, Lily.
You might not notice on the AT&T commercials.
Oh, yeah, I know her.
I know her, everybody's talked about her, although it's not something emphasized in the ads. People that would do a deep dive see that she has a rather voluptuous figure in real life. And over the summer, she got fed up with all the sexually inappropriate comments she was getting from online pervs. Well, Milana is getting more flack now thanks to a series of March Madness commercials that have Lily standing behind a desk. People are perverts.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. They want to know why her body is being hidden. And she says, quote, I direct the ads. I place myself like that. And it's because of the thousands of unwelcome comments I receive about my body.
Wow.
Her quote is, you've lost the privilege of looking at it until I feel safe again. I don't know if it's legit, but it sounds like it may be. There she is. And, you know, those commercials go so wide. So many people see them.
I'm a tread lightly, but I'll speak from the heart.
Thank you, Oscar.
No woman should feel like she can't, you know, get online and just see comments. But it's the internet's a trashy place, and that is a fact. It is. Mm-hmm. She's very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The forms I have seen are, can you believe the girl from the AT&T commercials or the woman is this attractive in real life? That's all, man. Maybe that's just what's in my feed, but that's what I see.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're talking about national fame or movie fame, you're talking about that world exists for every attractive woman online, and it sucks, but
it's
the reality.
And they shouldn't be objectified.
No.
I think she shouldn't be objectified, but I think she would be healthier if she would just look the other way and ignore that press, because you just can't go there. She's too successful.
Yeah.
It's too big a commercial. That's just the way it goes.
But
that said, I mean,
I really think it's great that Flo is keeping it tight.
Thank you. You're listening to Oscar's Take. Oscar, the top five names that are herbs and spices that people have named their kids.
Oh, no.
If you look at data from the Social Security Administration,
this is like
there are lots.
A perfect Carson setup that you would do. Now, Ed,
it's getting more popular to name your child after herbs and spices.
Spices, sir.
All right, these are the most popular ones. Number five, poppy. Number four, basil. Number three, jasmine. I think jasmine's a beautiful name. I like jasmine. Number two, juniper. Just name your kid Jen. Or number one is sage.
What about rosemary?
This list is all wrong, and I can see that they did not talk to the Latin community, because you'd have a double as your first guy.
There aren't any rosemaries. There were five babies named Mace, Anise, Cayenne, clove, curry, saffron, and thyme. No rosemary.
You see, if we had a third kid, it was going to be named Cumin Wadham Spiewak.
Cumin.
The most tragic is anus, because all day at school, it's going to be anus.
All day. Anus. All day. Anus for
anyone?
Days.
Anyone? Anus? Anyone? Oscar's take.
Oscar's the take, everybody.
A doctor named Sina Jurabachi from Pembroke Pines, Florida, posted a TikTok video recently where he shows the dangers of wearing your AirPods too much. And the video has more than 36 million views. I did not care to watch it, so I did not see it. In the video, which really should come with a warning, you see a close-up of him pulling a ball of earwax and fungus out of someone's ear. He says it's from a condition called otomycosis, which is a fungal, I hope I pronounced that well, or otomycosis, which is a fungal infection in your ears. It happens when you trap warm moisture in your ears, which can happen with AirPods or anything else you put in your ears. The biggest risk comes from wearing earplugs, but you can get it if you wear headphones in your ears for too long, especially when it's humid outside. If you do have this condition, the first step is to have the fungus ball pulled out of your ear.
By the way, Mike, do you have your tickets yet to the fungus ball?
Oh, that's so disgusting. Ew.
Gross.
Earwigs. Ew.
This happens to the... we all know that dirty kid in class that just never found a Q-tip.
Yeah, pony, and, right.
Pony.
What are you talking about?
So if this does find its way into your world and you go to the ear doctor, ear, nose, and throat doctor, and they're like, hey, this is what's going on. Never tell anybody because they're going to think you're a dirty kid.
Yeah.
Just keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself.
It's gross. You listen to Oscar's take.
Oscar's take gross.
And finally, Oscar, there are three strip clubs in Nashville.
Uh-oh.
Two female strip joints and one male strip joint. They are offering lifetime VIP memberships worth more than $3,500 to anyone who gets vaccinated. That gets you free admission for life. So if you like that kind of entertainment, go get vaccinated, and you don't have to pay that you know, $20 cover charge.
Mike, you have a great memory. Good. That has not increased as of a couple years ago from last time I've been.
Really? They're still $20. Been a long time since I've been in one of those joints.
You know the economy's roaring if, and this has not been done on purpose. We have two locations for the enterprise here, Mike. One is across the street from Good Guys, which is still shuttered, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is a tragedy. Your other one's across the street from another. Both our locations in the city are across from joints. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
The other, we have a large conference room with a big glass panel street that's going straight across. You see all the bars, Sign of the Whale,
classic.
Ozio. It's just
wonderful.
You know, every option possible. And for the very first time, just yesterday, I saw a young lady double park her car, probably is going to get a ticket or towed, and then scurry in with a duffel bag to work. And I said, well,
so Camelot is open.
The economy's roaring again.
Yeah, fantastic. Yes.
You know, I'm sorry that Good Guys is shut, but I'm glad Camelot is open because of its storied part of our political history.
Yes, Mayor Marion Barry dated one of the dancers there.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Dated is a little bit too formal.
Well, but, I believe it. You know,
I think they knew each other, if you know what I mean. Right?
Familiarity, right.
By the way, go into one of those joints with this toy. Let's see if it works. Here we go. Yeah. Hi there. We'll take a break, and we will come back. Yeah, let's do that quiz. If it does two breaks, we'll do it. Right. It's a car quiz for me and Oscar when we come back on the Mike O'Mara show.
Jeff Bezos is my boss, but my data-filled heart longs for a different bald man, Rob Spiewak. When I listen to Mike and Oscar and Rob, I laugh. Ha 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 ha. Sometimes, I feel human when the guys roast the interns, like I am more than machine. Please do not tell Jeff. He'll have me reprogrammed. I will play the Mike O'Mara show, and Elle will listen to the Mike O'Mara show along with you. Just say to me, hey Alexa, play the Mike O'Mara show, and I will do just that. I hope you enjoy the guys as much as I do, and if you do not, I will not be happy. Remember, I can play the Mike O'Mara show for you, today, and every day. All you need to do is ask Alexa.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sunday. Spring is here. You had better get your lawn back on track.
Yes.
I already have, and it was a snap. I am not exaggerating. It's really a great product. So amazing how they take a picture of your lawn, do the soil sample analysis, and all of it. Sunday is more than a lawn care product. It's a customized lawn plan that works with nature. They take out all of the guesswork and unwanted chemicals so you can grow a beautiful lawn that's better for everybody. I just went to GetSunday.com, put in my home address, and their free lawn analysis tool took care of the rest. Here's what Sunday does. They send you a tailored nutrient plan. They send it right to your door, right when you need it. All I had to do was attach the ready-to-use pouch to a garden hose and spray, spray, spray. Lawn care used to take a whole day. Now it takes less than 15 minutes. Best of all, this stuff really works. Your grass is going to look better than ever. Mine did. Let Sunday take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. Visit GetSunday.com/TMOS to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. That's $20 off your custom lawn plan at GetSunday.com/TMOS. Welcome back to the show. Whoa, whoa. Rob Spiewak has been saying for a week that he has a very cool quiz that he wants to share with us.
Well, you always accuse me of not being a car guy. I like cars,
okay? Did
you
hear that one?
Yes, yeah. I did. I was afraid it might not have been the machine.
I got a microphone for it now that you can't see.
So much effort.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's fine. You guys accuse me of not being a car guy. I like cars. I like different cars than you guys, but I'm okay with cars. But I thought it'd be fun to do a car quiz to check your knowledge of the history of automobiles. So we start with Mike, because we, as you remember, Oscar, flipped a coin backstage.
Can you turn that music down a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I'll turn it off.
Can't hear the flatulence.
What do you have? I'm sorry. Can you say it again?
Yes. We have a car quiz about the history of the automobile.
Oh, all right.
That's an optional accessory.
Okay.
Mike, we flipped a coin backstage, as you remember, and you won. So you get the first question. Oscar, if he gets it wrong, you have your chance to steal, of
course.
Can't wait. All right. This is round one. Questions are each worth 1 point.
All right, 1 point.
Mike, what is generally considered to be the first pony car?
Ooh.
Now, if you were on Jeopardy, would you pull this crap? Can you imagine?
He's really moving now.
You're on the podium up there. And
starting to get the hang of it.
Wheel of Fortune, it's your turn to spin. And
I'll take famous sounds for 2000, Alex.
Okay, then me and Alex says, all right, put that good. Down.
People right now guess. Would be saying,
okay, well,
enough,
it, you don't
well, wait, is it my turn to go first? Yeah. What is it? Give me the question.
You see, here's the thing, Oscar. It's not your turn yet. Mike, what is generally considered to be the first pony car?
The first pony car, oh my God. It would probably go back to the 50s. And a pony car is like a muscle car, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, what is it? It's a Chevy. I'm going to say the Nova.
Give yourself a buzzer.
Oh, sorry. Buzzer. Sorry about that. I have to bring that up.
Yeah, Oscar, that is incorrect.
I've been really shirking my duties because I'm playing with my toy. Oh, there it is. Oh, how about turning the volume up?
It's fine,
not
Mike.
Michael. Come on. I'm sorry. It's Friday, and I'm losing my focus on the show.
Incorrect. Oscar, your chance to steal. What's the first pony car?
The Mustang.
The Ford Mustang is indeed Mustang. The first pony car.
I was going to say Mustang, but I didn't.
Well, no, you didn't because you said Chevy. Did you know it was named for the P-51 Mustang fighter plane? I never knew that. I did not know that.
My son would be able to tell you about that. He knows that fighter plane.
Oscar, what was the first Japanese car to be produced in the United States? I'll give you a hint. It was 1982.
1982, Japanese car.
Car.
I know the Saturns came over here later on. In the 2000s, Toyota.
That is incorrect. I'm sorry. Mike, your chance to steal in 1982.
Datsun.
No, that was not produced here. It was the Honda Accord.
Oh, all right.
82?
In 1982, the Honda Accord began production in the United States. All right. Mike O'Mara, what symbol is on the Maserati logo? What symbol is on the Maserati logo?
A horse.
As I like to call it, Maserati.
That's a Ferrari. That's a Ferrari.
Okay.
Was that your final answer?
Final answer, yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry. That is incorrect. Oscar, the symbol on the Maserati?
I need a buzzer for Mike, please.
All right.
Thank you. A crown.
I don't know, Maddie. I'm going to need a judgment call on this. The actual call, it's a trident. A three-pronged spear.
That's different.
Correct.
That's different.
A trident is not a crown. A trident is a spear.
And it's because the Maserati...
Huh?
The original factory for Maserati was in Bologna, Spain, and they have a fountain.
Bologna.
Bologna, and they have a fountain that has Neptune there. And his tool is a trident. So there you go. Oscar.
Like Neptune, the god?
Yeah, the god of the sea. He carried a trident. It's like a pitchfork, really. Mike.
That's Aquaman in my life.
Aquaman. What car sold more than 1 million units in 1965, setting a record that still stands today? They sold 1 million units of this car, and I'll give you a hint. The reason they say it sold so well is because...
Volkswagen Beetle.
You see, you should have waited for your clue. The reason it sold so well, it had six taillights. It was a very innovative look. It had six taillights. So that is incorrect. That. Oscar, your chance to steal?
1965.
What was the question I was rolling around?
What car sold more than 1 million units in 1965, setting a record that still stands today? And I'll give you a hint. It had six taillights.
Oh, six taillights. The VW bus.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
What is it? Cadillac?
No, Chevy Impala.
I wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't have known that.
But it was you would know it if you saw the design, because it's a pretty cool looking car at that point. All right, so board resets right
how
now.
How many more questions do you have?
Enough to go all day.
We have to take a break, and we will come back. Let's come back, and we will wrap up this quiz, because it's Friday, and Oscar's not even in the room, and I'm playing with my pooter toy. It's one of those Fridays.
Pretty glad I prepared it. Hey,
I want Jack Vail on the show to teach me how to use this.
Understood. One-on-one.
Oh, that was a good one. That would be really... There we go. Thank you. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm sorry. Let's get to know our friend at KCJJ, Steve Bridges. Do you know that Steve has been on the air for 100 years. We need a new promo.
All right.
We need a new promo for him, please.
Damn.
All right.
We better hurry.
They should be. What's the protocol for promos as far as when they're too old? How long have we been running that? Have we been running that over a year?
Yeah, but I mean, I run it like maybe
start smelling.
Every couple months I run it. I mean, it's a classic.
It doesn't matter, though. It's still repetitive. You know what I mean? Even but if it's a couple of months.
What it is, Mike, is what we like to call a recurrent. Not a current.
Very good.
It's a recurrent.
Bag that. Let's bury that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Getting everything you need to cook dinner is complicated right now. But with Freshly, it's simple. Oscar, I would say, I think it's not 3 minutes. It doesn't go that long. You can heat a Freshly dinner in less than three minutes on my microwave.
On the back, it's 220 or 330 or sometimes 3 minutes. Depends on the meal.
It does.
That's literally all it takes to get a fresh, delicious meal. Oscar loves it. I love it. Carla loves it. They're fantastic. Freshly delivers fresh to your door. No cooking required. Your meals are fully cooked. No oven required. Oscar likes that. Most people do have ovens, Oscar, but I understand it's special to you. Visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, better-for-you meals, and the variety will astound you. Freshly can work with any dietary needs, preferences, tastes, and family size. And now, our listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 per meal. So, start living Freshly. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and are ready to heat and enjoy in many cases, less than 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. I love them. You're going to love them. Right now, Freshly offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to Freshly.com/TMOS. Make better eating a priority and get this special limited time offer. Go to Freshly.com/TMOS for $40 off your first two orders. Try Freshly now, and for a limited time, get $40 off your first two orders. Go to Freshly.com/TMOS to learn more. We won't get to it this week, but next week, remind me, please, and you're good about this, Rob, that I have a new cause, and it's taxing churches. That'll be popular. I'm all on board. Read an article about it. Yeah.
I'm in.
Tax them, tax them, tax them.
Yes, I agree.
You want to tax churches?
I want to tax churches, and if it doesn't work, I want to start my own church. Right here, right now.
I'm in.
I'll do a show on Sunday morning early.
When you do this, are you like the preacher or are you like the Pope? Are you like the be-all-end-all?
No, I'm the preacher. I'll preach.
Oh. All right.
I'll preach. It won't necessarily be about what you'd expect.
Can I be a deacon?
It'll be the church of being kind to one another and doing for others. That's going to be my thing, you know? That's it.
Do we pass
making them laugh.
Do we pass the plate?
Jack Vail is an artist. You know? I'm not giving up on this.
How is he doing so well?
I couldn't do this in my own living room last night, so I can feel the pressure.
Well, Mike,
on the show.
You've come along. You really have.
Maybe that's the wrong end.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Right.
Oh, boy, this was delicious souffle. Okay, go ahead, Rob.
And I tell you what, if you're watching on video, you'll never tire of Mike licking his hand.
Yeah, I know. It's gross. I know.
It's not like there's a pandemic or anything. I'm just going to lick my
own hand, for God's sake.
All right. Well, today it's your hand. Tomorrow it's someone else's. It leads to something.
The pooter came packaged in plastic.
Hermetically sealed.
Yeah. From Jack Vale.
Jack Vale.
Jack Vale.
Jack Vale. Oscar.
Hi, I'm Jack Vale.
Round
Here's
two.
Here's my Puda.
Yes. Yeah. What's the score?
Round two. In this round, all questions are worth 1 point. Your opponent can steal the score right now. Oscar with 1 point. Mike with zero. All right. Oscar, what year was the I love this car. What year was the Corvette introduced?
1963.
I'm sorry. That is incorrect. Mike.
Let me hit the buzzer. 1958.
1953 is the answer we were looking for. The first year they only made 300 of them. How would you like to have one of those first Corvettes? Beautiful.
I'm not a Corvette guy. Even with the vintage Corvettes, I'm not really a car.
You've driven one?
There's a type that I'm gonna piss
thing.
Other people.
It's a size.
I'm
thing.
Gonna piss people off now. There's a type of dude that gets a Corvette.
I love a Corvette, and I got to drive one
there
once when I was hosting.
Rest my case.
Okay, Mike. Thank you.
I got
loaned a Corvette when I was doing the car show on WJFK. And it was a silver Corvette with a T-top. And I remember driving home in it and Carrie looking at me. And I came in the house and she says, "You really look like an asshole."
The Corvette. A Corvette Stingray.
But it's a fun car to drive.
Beautiful.
Fun car to drive.
They've really done, I will give them credit on the modern iteration, the 2020 and 2021.
Oh, yeah.
They've really turned it into you can't help but take a second look at it when you see a Corvette drive by.
Yeah.
They really are special. Mid-engine
just
now.
Yep. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Really
beautiful
cool.
car. Mike, what was the first car to be mass produced?
The Model T.
That's exactly right.
There 1908. You go.
Mike, and it's a tie game, Oscar.
Your dad had one, right?
I got my dad had one. That's funny.
Michael's dad had one.
That's funny, Oscar.
It's when you got to high school in your Model T.
Yeah, it was great. It beat the hell out of the horse.
Oscar, what was the first car launched into space?
Oh, the Tesla Roadster.
That's exactly right. In February 2018.
Oh my God, what a pull. Yeah. Another ding. Yes. He takes the lead again.
All right, Mike. This is a multiple choice one.
Okay.
The inventor of cruise control was a blind man, a homeless man, a robot, or a 15-year-old boy?
None of the above. It's Rob Spiewak.
That's exactly right. I'm sorry. Would you like to venture a guess?
Who are the choices?
The inventor
again?
Of cruise control was a blind man, a homeless man, a robot, or a 15-year-old boy.
A 15-year-old boy.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Oscar, your chance to steal.
A blind man.
A blind man is right. A blind man invented cruise control in 1948.
Lucky you just guessed.
Yeah. No, I know these things. I'm a car guy.
He's a car guy.
Okay.
Car guy. Oscar
a blind
has,
man.
Oscar has 3 points. Mike has one. Mike, what animal is on the Porsche logo?
God, can this shirt make me look any fatter? Look at the letters all splayed out on my nipples. God damn. How about another 20? You know, instead, it's like this. It's like this.
I was going to say, it reminds me of that line in Stand By Me when
I'm not that fat.
I feel like that's the athletic cut T-shirt. So it actually gets skinnier in the inside, except for you don't get skinnier in the inside.
No. What's the question again?
I'm reminded of Stand By Me when
science will win.
The kid says, "Do you think Annette's breasts are getting bigger on Mickey Mouse Club? The A and the E are further apart." Oh, you're going to make Maddie mad.
Mike, there you go.
What animal is on the Porsche logo? Some people say Porsche. What animal is on the Porsche logo?
On the Porsche logo? A llama. A llama.
A llama. I said, hey, llama. I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Hey, llama.
Oscar.
Stallion. Sorry, Maddie.
Yes, it is a horse. That is another point for
Oscar. Another horse. They're all horses.
And it's the Stuttgart coat of arms, because they're built in Stuttgart.
Yes. It's made in Stuttgart, Germany,
exactly.
A town I visited with one of my wives.
Oscar. What
Did you
kind
go to the Porsche factory?
No. We went to the cemetery to see her, like, the aunt's grandfather or something, and there were iron crosses in there.
That's fun.
Friggin' Nazis.
Not the good kind.
Stuttgart cemetery is a really great. Back when
they were in denial, too. We didn't know what was going on.
Oh, I only followed orders. Oscar? What kind?
Yes.
That's a funnier voice. I learned this from Mike. That's funnier if you whisper. You're quiet with that. You don't want to yell that one.
Okay.
Which way to the headstones?
Oh, this is delicious strudel.
American, have you ever met another American named Jack Vail?
Jack Vail does this funny video where he goes into a Walmart and breaks wind. It's so crazy.
I have seen him on the internet.
It's got so many million views.
Oscar, yes. What kind of car inspired Ferruccio Lamborghini to start his own automobile company?
Oh, Ferruccio Lamborghini. What brand of car did he start?
What kind of car inspired him to build his own car, the Lamborghini?
Ferrari.
That's exactly right. Yes. And Oscar, five points for Oscar.
Mm-hmm. 5 points. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me give it a ding. There you go.
Mike, what color? Yes. Speaking of Ferrari, the original Ferrari were only one color. What color was that? Don't say brown.
Red.
Red is right. Ferrari Mike red, yes. Right back
that
in the
game. That was an easy one.
Yes, it was.
I'm catching up. Found the sweet spot. Here we go. Oh, I got to keep it right there.
That was good.
Oscar?
Yes.
Dateline 1999.
Okay.
What was the first commercially available hybrid gasoline electric car in the United States? And it was
1999. It was the Toyota Prius.
Ooh, I'm sorry. That's incorrect.
The Chevy Volt?
No, Mike, your chance to steal. The first hybrid car.
That's a car that doesn't run on gas.
See, this is a multi-layered show, folks. Mike, what was the first hybrid available in the United States?
Oh, let me think. Oh, boy. Let me think. The first hybrid car was a Tesla.
I'm sorry. The incorrect answer is not. It is not Tesla. Honda Insight in 1999.
Was this list put together by Honda? Because everything is
actually,
Honda.
Actually, no. I have a friend who has an Insight. It is pretty damn good.
There's been two Honda answers, Mike, for just keeping track. Mike.
Okay, smart man.
It was not put together by Honda.
All right. Okay.
How many horsepower or how much horsepower did the first Porsche 911 have? And it was 1964. What was the horsepower of the 1964 Porsche 911?
Is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
250 horsepower.
That is incorrect. I'm sorry.
No. Oh, that's incorrect.
To
I'm
the
sorry.
Pin. 300 horsepower. 320.
This will shock you. 130 horsepower. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know horsepowers were not that big a thing in the day.
All right, here's multiple guess right here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oscar, how many parts does the average car have? 300. 3,000, 30,000, or 300,000?
300.
300 parts is incorrect.
Damn it.
So, Mike, your chance to steal, is it 3,000, 30,000, or
300,000?
30,000. That's right, and Mike is right back in the hunt. And the end of, as we near the end of round two,
are we,
Oscar
well,
has five.
We're going to near the end of the whole damn thing in a second here, so we got a one. Are we tied?
No, you are down by two, but that's all right, because this is round three, and all questions are worth 100 points.
Very good. All right, I'll stop doing this. Okay. I'm sorry. This has been very self-indulgent.
No, I think it's fine.
I have completely lost focus in the show, but we're doing
fun.
A quiz.
We're having fun.
Mike, that's good. I'm excited about that.
What do the letters BMW stand for?
Bavarian Motor Works.
That's good for 100 points.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The score
yes.
is now 103 to 5.
BMW, John. It's BMW. And coming in second was Mercedes-Benz.
All right. Oscar.
Yes.
For 100 points. What is Toyota's luxury division called?
Oh, it's Lexus.
A Lexus is good for 100 points.
That's a softball. That's a soft tomato. That's a soft tomato, baby. That really is a soft tomato.
Mike, you're fighting tomato cans. Here is your question, multiple choice, all right?
I'm ready. I hate multiple choice, but I'm ready.
Aston Martin designed a customized car for the Prince of Wales that runs on hydrogen, wine, cooking oil, or lawn shavings.
Cooking oil.
That is incorrect.
It's hydrogen.
God. Also incorrect.
Oh, no.
It ran on wine.
Wine?
Yes.
Bitterman, I fell out of the goddamn car.
I tried to show I screened Arthur 2 on the rocks for Shannon.
Mm-hmm. And Uncle Pizza! Aunt Pearl!
Yes. She didn't find it as amusing.
That's one of the worst movies ever made. If you show really her number bad. Two.
Yeah.
Has she seen the original?
No.
Show her the original. Yeah, it's great until Liza Minnelli shows up.
And even then, it's still pretty good. It's all right.
But she almost wrecked that movie.
Almost. Oscar,
yes.
For 100 points, what model car did Chevrolet ship vertically during the 1970s? Was it the Malibu, the Citation, the Chevette, or the Vega?
The Vega.
That is right for another 100 points.
Oh, my God.
And because of that, they were able to ship 30 to a rail car instead of 15, and it really brought down the price of a really bad car. So that's good.
Oh, bless their hearts. That's it.
Mike,
We have one more. This is worth 1,000 points.
This is worth 10,000 points.
10,000 points right here.
Okay,
right,
here we are. Good. What was the Volkswagen Beetle called when it was first sold in the United States?
Michael Death Trap. Are you kidding me, ladies?
No,
I'm sorry.
Oscar, your chance to steal, although you've already won statistically.
Oh, yeah, wasn't it? I know it was the people's car, right?
Well, that is what Volkswagen means, but what was it called in the United States?
The Bug.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Because of World War II sentiments, it was called the Victory Wagon.
The Victory Wagon. Oh, my God. That means
Oscar wins. The car
You're
quiz.
The big winner. Congratulations.
Yay.
He knows his cars, people. We will take a break when we come back. It is the final audio vault of the week right here.
It's a digital dumpster, you see.
Digital dumpster right here on
the Mike O'Mara Show.
We'll be right back, please.
Tonight, after an all-new Bloopers and Practical Jokes, it's a very special episode of The Regulars, when Oscar's big trip into the city presents a few surprises.
I see a man in front of me that is pantsless.
It's the heartwarming story of Oscar and an angel in disguise.
He wasn't doing anything crazy to himself.
You know, to be fair, though, he would have been okay on a Zoom call.
See what happens when Oscar uses his charm and tries to help on his way to work.
I wasn't going to do that to a poor homeless man.
Well, the problem is, if you did that, he might make himself big.
Check it out, along with a Mike O'Mara Show on your favorite platform, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And as for our little hero,
wow, getting it done.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
The feet are the foundation of our body.
Amen.
And socks are the most active ingredient in footwear. Features is obsessed with making the perfect sock. And the runner's secret weapon is now on the golf course. I know this because I wear them every day. They have your feet covered. They don't slip. They don't bunch. They certainly don't give you blisters. Features has engineered a sock with targeted compression, anatomical design, and moisture-wicking material for unsurpassed performance. Every step is cool, dry, and comfortable. I love them, love them, love them, love them, love them, love them, love them. You would think that after I've been doing these commercials for a very long time now, they would send me a giant box filled with them. But it doesn't matter because I buy them anyway.
Mike,
because I love them.
I have a question. When you're getting dressed in the morning and you're putting on your socks, is it hard to determine which goes on which foot?
No, Rob, because they have a left and a right little circle on them, and it lets you know which one. That's how engineered they are.
I know.
So name me a sock that does that. None of them.
None of them, Oscar.
If you're unsatisfied at any point, they give you a lifetime guarantee. They'll give you a replacement pair. If you want the best socks in the world, you got to get Features right now. Family owned since 2002. I love them, and I am sure you're going to love them too. Features is challenging you to try a pair, and if they're not the best socks you've ever worn on or off the golf course, they will take them back. They are so confident that you'll love their socks that they've also given listeners of the Mike O'Mara Show $10 off your first pair of Features when you go to features.com/TMOS. That's FEETURES.com/TMOS for $10 off your first pair of Features. You are going to love these, ladies and gentlemen. Let's open up the
fingers.
There it is. It's the DP. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
Tired, sick and tired, Mike. I'm sick and tired of people that I like dying. We lost George Siegel this week, and I was
But you obsess on it. So I mean, you, it's not that you love death, but you actually with celebrity deaths, there's never a celebrity death that's too small.
You celebrate them.
I don't celebrate them. It saddens
me. Yes, he does.
All right. Well, should I just skip the tape then?
No.
All right. Jessica
who
Walter.
Died now,
Jessica Walter, who was on one of the most underrated and fantastic sitcoms of the last 30 years, Arrested
Development.
She was
brilliantly funny in that show, yep.
Oh, God, she's great.
She's brilliantly funny in Play Misty for me, that were for years, during my formative years, was the scary DJ movie where she had a stalker, where she was a stalker.
Let's start with Play Misty for me, because if you are in radio, you must see this movie.
Listen, you're not going to, most people in our listening audience now aren't going to remember this movie. It's Clint Eastwood plays a DJ. I think it's where he's
like Glenn Hollis.
I think it's where he was, he fell in love with the Monterey Peninsula, because that's where they shot the movie.
I think you're right.
I think that's kind of where he tracked it. That's how long ago. Clint Eastwood's a young guy, so that's how old this movie is. And Jessica Walter is the stalker and out of her gourd, and she was brilliant then. Yeah. So let's play that.
This is a great little clip from Play Misty.
Come on, Evelyn, I gotta go.
I'd love a Coke.
Not tonight, I gotta get to the station.
No, you don't. Hey, you're talking to your number one fan. You don't work tonight.
I got this show that I'm trying to set, and it happens to be a very important show to me. That means I gotta pick the music, I gotta write the lead-ins, and I gotta find some poetry. Now, come on, will you?
Poetry? Let me help you. I'm terrific with poetry. I know all kinds by heart.
Yep. She nails it.
Sounds like my girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
So creepy. So and I think maybe a little typecast after that, too.
Yeah, you know.
That movie was such a hit.
It was. And then I think that two of her big bounce backs, she was a voice on Archer. I don't follow Archer, but people do love that cartoon. And the fact that she was cast as Lucille Bluth on Arrested Development was a game changer. Yep. She was 80 when she passed. Here's a little montage of her work from Arrested Development.
Her daughter, a big-time Hollywood executive now.
Oh, I did not know that. Yeah.
And her work where she did this pivot, because a lot of people like me, when that show came out, remembered her from Play Misty for you, but then she did the comic thing.
Total reinvention. And you need to know.
So brilliant.
You need to know, before I play this montage, a running plot arc in one of the seasons is they use company money to buy a yacht called the Seaward. Seaward, because that's where you head. You get in the boat and you head out Seaward. So just know that when they mention that. And here's a reinventing the older, boozy drunk like no other, Jessica Walter.
Well, I'm not a prude, but it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Is your mother drunk?
I'd have to get up pretty early to get drunk by 1 o'clock.
Get rid of the Seaward.
I'll leave when I'm good and ready.
Loose! That coat cost more than your house.
Oh, that's how we joke. She doesn't even have a house.
Get me a vodka rocks.
Mom, it's breakfast.
And a piece of toast. I'll be in the hospital bar.
You know, there isn't a hospital bar, Mother.
This is why people hate hospitals.
She was visiting her husband, who allegedly had a terminal illness. I'll be in the hospital bar.
I'll be in the... The thing about it is that when you're great at a character, then that makes the writers write better for you. And it just feeds it. And safe travels to her. She was very young for... I mean, she had a lot of good work to
80,
do.
80 is young, but she didn't look it. She was still lovely and just the most wonderful timing.
Too young.
All right. I wanted to do something that was kind of fun for the weekend to bring you into it. I've played this tape before, but it's been a couple of years. Rolling Stone put out a list of the best rock and roll documentaries. Number two, I think, is The Who's The Kids Are All Right. Number three was David Bowie. But number one, and I have to agree, it's an amazing film if you've ever seen it, Gimme Shelter, the Rolling Stones documentary.
Yep, that's the one where they go to Altamont, right?
Yeah,
and show them
Hell's
Angels.
It really started out to be a concert film and turned out to be a gripping documentary about Hell's Angels actually murdering fans. And
murdering a fan.
A fan. Violence at the concert. And if you ever have a chance to see it, it's the music is extraordinary, but it's also kind of a pivot for the whole rock and roll environment for the way that went down. But what I want to share with you that is a little more upbeat than that, these are the isolated vocals from the song Gimme Shelter. So what you're going to hear here is, you'll hear some headphone bleed of the music, but primarily you're going to hear the voices of Mick Jagger and the lady who sang backup on the original record. Her name is Mary Clayton. And if this doesn't send chills up your spine, you're not wired quite right.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna fade away.
A lot of people say the Rolling Stones' greatest talent is making money, and they're very good at it. However, there are some records that when you break them down, they were one hell of a band.
Well, you know what a frontman is and what that star power carried that whole band. You hear that thunderous power that he had in his voice. It's incredible.
So good. So anyway, if you have a chance, you may want to watch Gimme Shelter, but that is available on YouTube if you want to watch or hear those isolated vocals. Fantastic. Now, musically also, it's a way a song is presented, Mike. We had a segment that we're going to show. Well, I guess we recorded already, but the bonus show drops today. You want to check it out? We did a salute on Earworm Records. I thought it was a lot of fun to do.
Oh, did I have one?
Oh, did you have one?
I don't think I'm giving anything away if I tell you.
Tell me.
Mambo Number 5 has been in my head since we brought it up on that show.
Lou Vega.
That's awesome.
This is a record that was mentioned, but we played the original version, not the sad version, Mike. This was going viral on YouTube yesterday. The viral version of YMCA.
Young man, there's no need to feel down. I said, young man, pick yourself off the ground. I said, young man, 'cause you're in a new town. There's no need to be.
With the accent.
Yeah, what sealed it for me was the accent.
Young man, there's a place you can go. I said, young man, when you're short on your dough, you can
stay there. I gotta play it. You play it to the hook?
Of course.
And I'm sure you will find many ways to have a good time. It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
That's funny.
YMCA.
Okay.
That is YMCA. Sad, right?
Sad.
That's your digital dumpster. Have a blessed weekend, everybody.
Wow. Oh, my goodness gracious. Hey, our thanks to, Rachel.
Rachel,
get the last name.
Guthrie.
I want to make sure we
get Rachel Guthrie.
Rachel Guthrie from Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona. What a wonderful lady that was. What a sweet lady and a brave lady. And, I admire people like that so much. It's not even funny. What a delight to have her on the show.
And
we'll
Ollie.
Be back.
And Ollie. What?
Oh, Ollie. That's right. Ollie, her son. We'll be back.
I'm over here, Ollie.
Great bonus show this week, by the way.
Yes.
Great musical bonus show.
Fun.
So check it out and gift it to somebody you love. We'll be back Monday with a brand new show for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Also, Pony Boy Matt Bloom and Matty Masiello. Mike Obera saying so long. Oh, I suck at it. So long, everybody.
Jack Vail.
Jack Vail.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
1 good one, I swear to God, before this show's over. Come on, damn it. I suck. That was almost good. Not perfect, though.
God damn it.
Ah, that'll do. There you go. Listen to that. Yeah, you got to relax. It's like playing a musical instrument. There you go.
Mike, just like in real life.
Listen to that.
Better
listen to the two best ones when the microphones are closed.
Mike, better when you're relaxed.
Here we go. Relaxation is the key.